All right, to repeat the point that we're speaking about, in other words, it's clear that, I mean, going back to Aristotle's conclusion, which is on page 420 hour 420 in book 8 of the Physics, he says, therefore, since the now is both the beginning and end, right? But if this is true of time, then it must be true of motion, time being a kind of affection of motion. In other words, he's coming to prove motion. For Aristotle...
Yes, but not from time? Or
From time. In other words, he has this yesod in time, that you can't see the world created at any point of time, because there has to be the time before that. So because of that, it must be true of motion. There's no notion... Aristotle didn't have a notion of motion independent of time independent of motion. Time is embedded in motion.
The last year was that he's learning out motion from time. But in the second paragraph, in line 29, where he continues.
Well, this is Aristotle?
Yeah, in Aristotle, chapter one.
But if this is a true of time, it is evident it must be true of motion. Therefore, what am I learning to? I'm learning to motion. If it's true of time, it must be true of motion.
I was looking at line 29, the next line. The same reason will also serve to show the imperishability of motion. Meaning he's taking this the same logic.
With time being a kind of affection of motion. Now that's where you can go from motion, from time to motion. But if this is true of time, then it is everything that must be also true of motion.
Okay, the next line, the same reasoning.
The same reason will serve to show the imperishability of motion. No, but that's also too. That's, I think, a little bit of a different.
He uses the same logic as he does in the previous.
I hear what you're saying, but this paragraph is much going from time to motion. But be that as it may, right? Even whatever it is, the fact is, Aristotle's proofs of the eternity of the world, there's no Aristotle does not set as a goal for himself to prove the eternity of time. In other words, there's the eternity of motion, the eternity of matter, the eternity of the spheres. We'll see the different types of things. But the eternity of time is not a thing unto itself in Aristotle. It's the Rambam that makes it into something here. That's what I think. You would see it's not a tachlis. In other words, Aristotle's interested, we'll see in actually these things over here, the different proofs. The first proof, for example, the first proof, the Rambam is quoting Aristotle of the eternity of motion.
Yeah.
But at the end, the Rambam ends up by saying the eternity of time. But in other words, in Aristotle's other proofs, for example, the eternity of matter, that's going to be the second proof. The third proof is going to be the eternity of, let's say, circular motion. Because you can't go from one, we'll see if we're going to go into that. The fourth proof is going to be the concept of potentiality. In other words, but the eternity of time into itself is not something that Aristotle is really interested in. He's not interested in time. If he's interested in time, it's only because time is telling me something about motion. I think the next paragraph is actually just giving like a different argument to motion itself. First, he gives an argument, but the fact is that the Rambam didn't adopt, from 29, the Rambam didn't adopt that argument. The Rambam adopted the argument over here. That's as the Rambam adopted the argument over here from line 11 to line 28. That's the argument the Rambam adopted.
Well, the Rambam mentioned both.
Imperishability, but without being burned, it will have to destroy it. It'll destroy a kind of change. We'll speak about that. The Rambam can speak about that in Derech Shnei Shelo. We'll speak about it in a little while. In other words, there he speaks of an imperishability. We'll speak about that in a little while, about matter. But let's go through the proofs, then we'll go back to the point. I think that's the best thing to do. Okay, now, the Rambam brings over here, like this imperishable dollar, the Rambam brings four proofs from Aristotle, and then he brings another proof, right after the fourth proof, and then he brings several other proofs too. Okay? Now, what's the second proof? So I'll read it over here from the second method. I'm reading from Pinnas. Okay? The second method of his, he asserts that the first matter, which is common to the four elements, is not subject to generation and passing away. For if the first matter was subject to generation, it would have to have a matter out of which it would be generated. And necessarily would follow that the generated matter would have to be endowed with form, for the latter is the true reality of generation. But if we assume that the matter in question was matter not endowed with form, that such matter necessarily must not be generated from something. It is consequently eternal and not liable to be destroyed. These considerations too render obligatory the eternity of the world. Okay? Now this is actually a tricky, the way that Ram seems to explain this being a tricky argument as follows. Once again, right? Let's assume a matter, Aristotle's trying to prove, now once again, the first proof of the Rambam is from Moshe. Now he's proving from matter. Okay? Now, let's assume the first matter, this primordial matter, was subject to what's called generation, which means, according to the Rambam, right? She'ilu haya choy maharishon mishave. Right? In other words, if the first matter, the primordial matter, was able to come about, right? Pinnish uses the translation to generate. So he says it would have to be a matter out of which we generate it. So, in other words, there has to be a matter from which it came out of. No matter, but matter has to generate from another matter. Okay? Now, at this point here in the proof, you could say, okay, he's finished. If matter comes from other matter, then what? Then that's it. Something must be created before that. So he says, "V'azayim b'chayim she'otzu chomesh yishava yebal tzura." Then, but it would follow that if matter comes from another matter, then the matter that's created has to have a tzura, has to have a form. Because if something comes from something else, the thing that comes from it must have some type of a form. Otherwise, how can you distinguish the two? Okay. However, he's assuming, right, that the matter. But we're assuming the first matter didn't have a tzura. So therefore, it must be that it could not have come out from something. Therefore, it must be kaimah. Now, what's the rabbi? The rabbi saying something like this. Now, this is very important. In other words, a person looks at this proof and says, what do you have to go to the forum for? Just say that's a matter from, but like this. This is Aristotle, not Plato. According to Plato, matter could have existed, formless matter could have existed. That's Plato's concept theory of the world. Aristotle wants to prove more. Aristotle wants to prove that the first matter has to have had tzura too. In other words, form too. In other words, the dispute between Plato and Aristotle is that according to Plato, you could have had a formless matter called the hiyuli. According to Aristotle, that can't be. You necessarily, right, should have had form. So, right, in other words, so what he has to do? He has to prove that the first matter had form. So he says that if the first matter generated, in other words, it must have generated from some other matter, right? And if generated from some other matter, then it has to have had a form. Right? Because that's what generation means. Generation means you go from one to another, that I can distinguish the second from the first, that's the form. Okay? But he says, right, that what are you assuming? That it didn't have form, so therefore it could not have generated. The matter to generate had a form. And therefore the world must have always existed with matter with form. Now, what's interesting is what he's saying is this, and this is what Pinna says. We assume that the matter in question was matter not endowed with form. Right? Now such matter necessarily must not be generated from something. It's constantly eternal and not liable to be destroyed. In other words, one second. Let's go again. He asserts that, I'm going to get the pizza again. He asserts that the first matter, which is coming for Elma, is not some generation passing away. Right? For this first matter was subject to generation, it would have to generator for manager came out of it. And as it would follow the generator, it would have to come down with form. For lab is a true reality generation. We assume that the matter in question was matter not endowed with form. Right? You assume that the first matter was not endowed with form. Now such matter necessarily must not be generated for something. It's consequently eternal and not liable to be destroyed. It's a little bit difficult because right. Anything which is generated has to have form. The question is here, what is he proving? If it's generated, it has to have form. So therefore it must be that there's something missing here. Let's try to eat. In other words, Aristotle says the first chomer, right, cannot have been generated. Because if it was generated, it must have come from another matter. And if it came from another matter, it has to have a form. But what is the assumption that the matter doesn't have form? In other words, something which generates has to have form. So therefore, if you're assuming it doesn't generate, it can't have form. What does that mean? What does that mean? I don't know.
You're saying the first substance has to be formless, without form.
But if what
something is generated from something else, then it would have form.
Yeah, but what are you trying to prove? You're trying to prove that the first matter, you're trying to prove that matter is eternal. So what does it mean? King Cumbria Yeshmiyaya. Maybe like this. Look, maybe you want to, like, you can prove it like this. The first matter, I'm not sure he wants to prove. What does he want to prove? If he wants to prove that matter always existed, so he's proven it. He says that any matter which was generated has been generated for something else. He could have stopped over there. He doesn't. He adds an argument about form. For Azay Amit Chayev Sha'oto Chomer Shetave, what he says, Hayyad Chayev, and as it would follow that the generated matter would have to be endowed with form. For the latter is the true reality of generation. But we assume that the matter in question was matter not endowed with form. Where do we assume that? Where do we assume that? Now, what's interesting is, let me read, there's a book by Davidson, which I Xeroxed, which speaks about the proofs. And Davidson says, gives the following proof. Davidson claims the argument for the nature of matter, this is on page 13 of Davidson, I didn't Xerox this. He says, there's one type of proof, right? Like this. Aristotle reasoned, everything that comes into existence does so from a substratum. If the underlying matter of the universe came to existence, it also would come into existence from a substratum. But the nature of matter is planned to be the substratum from which things arise. Right? Consequently, the matter of the universe would have to come into existence or from an already existing matter exactly like itself. The assumption that the underlying matter of the universe can exist would require assuming that underlying matter already existed. The assumptions are self-contradictory, and matter must be eternal. In other words, if matter comes into existence, it must have come from some other matter. So therefore, there always had to have been matter. Now he says, a sharpened, right, matter in the Aristotelian sense, what he says in most instances, David says this on page 14, the force of the argument is sharpened. Matter in its truly physical sense never exists in actuality devoid of all form. And the generation of any object therefore starts not only with a previously existing matter, but also with a previously existing component of matter and form. Generation is the process wherein the component of matter and form receives an additional form or exchanges its own form for another. The sharpened medieval version of the argument runs accordingly. This is Davidson. The underlying matter of the world can only have come into existence from an already existing matter. Matter, however, never exists devoid of form. It's only in a compound together with form. To assume an actual beginning of the living matter universe would then not really require assuming an origin of matter. It would require assuming that before the matter existed, there already existed a full-blown competent matter and form. In other words, what I understand, what Davidson is saying is, now Davidson, this 27 quotes, I guess he quotes 26, I don't know, Davidson's been saying, right, is that matter, in other words, he said like this, there's two arguments. One argument is that if matter was created, it must be created for some type of a substratum, previous matter. And because of that, it must be that matter is eternal. Then there's a second version, which he says is adopted by the Rambam. And he actually quotes the Rambam, he says. And he says, over here as follows, he says that if matter generates matter, right, then it must be the previous matter had a form. Why? Because a change from one thing to another is a change of form. So in other words, something which arises from something else has a form, which implies the thing before that also had a form. So it must be the matter that always existed, right, had a form. That's what he seems to be saying. Now, if he says that, then the argument of the Rambam would have to follow like this. The Rambam says, I'm reading from Schwartz now. Right? He says, the first Chomer cannot be metavev lo kala, can't generate. Why? Because he says, if it generated, there has to be a matter from which it generated from. Okay? Right? So he says, v'azayah medchayev, she'otso choymeh shetava ayayah baltzura. The matter generated has to have a baltzura. Because that's the mashmaos of generation. Okay? Now, he says a statement over here, but we assume that the first matter didn't have a tzura. There's something missing in the proof. So I claim you have to fill in the proof. He's saying the following thing. The assumption is that what? In other words, now the his assumption, in other words, he wanted to assume that matter existed in a what? In a formless shape. In a formless shape. Not like Plato. This is Aristotelian eternity. What's his argument? His argument is, if a matter generated from some other matter, the matter that generated, the second matter, must have had a tzura, must have had a form. If that's true, the first matter must have had a form. But that contradicts the assumption that what? That the original matter was formless, the hiyuli. Right? Therefore, because of this, in other words, what he's saying is that if matter is generated from, right, it must be generated from something which has a form. So not only is he proven that matter is eternal, he's proven that you can't have what's called a formless matter, the hiyuli. You have to have a matter which has form. And that's the Aristotelian concept of the eternal universe. I claim there's a step missing in the Rambam's proof.
He acknowledges the step, but he's not willing to take that step. He says that it should the postulate should be that the original form, the original matter has form. However, we know that's not the case. Meaning, he could have proved it.
No, he says we assume. He says, but we assume the matter doesn't have form.
Even though I just showed you that's logical.
So therefore, it must be that one. If you assume that the matter doesn't have form, and matter generated from that, because we live in a world of forms. So Rambam's proven that what? Is that, no, Rambam says that's true, that it comes that the first matter must have had form too. There was Platonic theory of turning the world means I came from a formless matter to a world with form. And that's what the Rambam is proving. They can't be. Because if you say that form, in other words, anything was generating something else, must have form, And the first thing also has to have form.
Why?
What? That's...
Doesn't he say the opposite though, that the first matter must be formless? Well, that's what...
No, because that's like that's a clip. It's from Davidson, it's Mashma. I think that Chair's got a little argument. From Davidson, it's Mashma and Aristotle. That, in other words, change, in order for something to change, there has to be a change in one form to another form. In other words, if something generates, I have to be able to distinguish the previous form and the form afterwards. In fact, actually, we're going to see actually in the third Derech, in the third book of the Rambam, when things change from one to another, something throws away like a previous characteristic and adopts a new characteristic. In other words, change is always replacing one form for another form.
Not, I thought when we were talking about, example, prime mover, or in this case, the first form, or first matter, that primary being never loses what it had, it always remains static.
No, well, according to the Rambam, it must have always had a form. No, Aristotle believes that matter can change forms. Something becomes, whatever it is. But, in other words, the point of Aristotle's term of the universe is that the world always had forms. It was never a hiyuli, a formless matter, from which creation arose. My claim is, if you look at this proof, the proof makes no sense. You know, Tzura man daka shmei. In other words, who mentioned Tzura? The Rambam was speaking about the eternity of matter. I claim what the Rambam is trying to prove is that not only, right, is that there has to be the first matter, but there has to be the first matter with form. That's my claim.
What could be that there's a stage, which is not telling us a stage? For example, like, first stage is things that are generated with form. We also have another factor, which is the first matter is formless. Right, that's what he says. Therefore, the first matter is not generated from something. But he's just leaving out the middle step of where we know.
But what's he proving? What is
that
the
first matter
prove?
Is eternal. That
so I don't have to speak about form.
No, because form tells you that if something.
If the matter generated,
it would have
has form. So the first matter can't have form.
Yeah.
Well, what have you proven?
The eternity of matter.
But we have assumed that matter in question was matter, not endowed with form. So what was the conclusion?
He's leaving out where you learned that from.
I hear what you're saying. But first of all, the Rambam begins by saying that if matter generates, it must be generated for some other matter. Before he speaks about form. And it would have to be that your man would have to, have to be generated. In other words, according to what you're saying, is already proven. Matter has to come from other matter. That's it. The group is finished.
No, when matter comes from other matter, it has form. First,
I don't need form. If I want to prove that matter is eternal, all I have to say is that if matter was generated, it came from some other matter. That's all I have to prove. That's it. I'm finished. I claim he wants to prove something stronger. I claim what he wants to prove is, he wants to prove that the matter from which the matter was generated had a form. I know there's something chasa menaseva, but that appears to be. Davidson is claiming in his book that there are two arguments. There's an argument for matter as a substratum, and there's an argument of matter having form. In other words, I understand that, and the fact is that this is Aristotle's theory of the eternal universe. Aristotle rejects the Platonic theory of the eternity of the universe precisely because he believes that the world has to have always had form the way it has now. And let me tell you something too. The way we understand the Rambam, the Chedek Beis, Parakhaf Hei, and we were medayek from the previous chapter, the Rambam was not really interested in disproving Plato's theory of eternity. That's fine for him. The ikar for the Rambam is to disprove Aristotle's theory to the universe that, in other words, the world always had form. The world is the way it always was. That's what he wants to do. He's not interested in disproving Plato. He doesn't have to. And in fact, if we look at his arguments, we'll see a little bit of his arguments against his arguments, it's pretty clear, we'll look at it again, that the arguments he's making is countering Bedavka Aristotle's theory of eternity, not Plato's theory of eternity.
He's saying the contrary, that if it can't have had form. Because... Because something that has form has to necessarily have come from something else. In other words, what he started off saying in the previous proof that matter always has to... There is a primordial matter that starts off, because otherwise you go back forever.
Right.
As he said in the previous chapter.
Right.
But that can have form because something with form must have been generated.
That can or cannot?
Cannot.
No, but you see, but then he goes on. He says on like this. He asserts that the first matter, which is come from, is not so generated, passing away. The first of the generation would have to come from, which is generated. Now, and necessarily would have followed generation, would have to be before. For lads, the truth remains of generation. But we have assumed that the matter in question was bound down with form. So now you have it. So there you have a kasha on that.
No, it's not what it's saying.
Look, maybe you can say like this. Here. I could work it out like this. He wants to prove like this. If matter is generated from matter, if matter B is generated from matter A, matter B must have form. Okay?
Yeah, but the question is
now. However what? Now. So now, right? The matter B must have form. So matter A, so let's assume that matter A, right? So whatever matter is generated, matter B is measured A, so matter B must have form. Now what about matter A? So if matter A doesn't have form, A doesn't have form. In other words, let's assume according to the Rambam, matter B has that form, but matter A doesn't have form. But if matter A doesn't have form, right? So therefore cannot have been generated. Because matter is generated, has to have form. Therefore matter A must be eternal. You can say that's the argument.
Must be eternal.
Must be eternal, but in other words, if matter, obviously, any matter which is generated has to have form. So therefore, but it was generated some other matter. But that other matter can't have form. That other can't have form, then what? So it must be eternal, because if it's generated, it has to have form. But he could have said it much simpler.
But in others, Mamayin Afshach.
Why? No, he has to. This is very important.
Why?
He has to, because he's saying the fact that matter has to always be generated from something else is an inherent contradiction, because you go on for
but that proof, no, but that's Aristotle's proof.
Right, so what he's saying...
He's not trying to disprove Aristotle now.
No.
He's bringing Aristotle's proof.
Right, but he's saying that in order for the first matter, so he starts off saying that the first substance common to the four elements is eternal. That's the first substance, and it's common to the four elements means it doesn't have form. Once it has form, then it's not common to the four elements anymore, right? So the first matter and the second matter must have form.
Yeah.
The first matter cannot have form, because if it has form, it must have been generated, then it's not the first matter. In order for it to be the first matter...
So what have I proven? The first matter doesn't have form? Mazel tov.
If it doesn't have form, then it wasn't generated, and therefore it's eternal. Something that's generated is not eternal.
But all I have to prove is that matter has to be generated from other matter.
It's a mamayin afshach. If the first substance had form...
All you're doing, what you're saying is that the Aristotle's proven that the first matter could not have had form.
No,
otherwise, it must have been generated.
No, if
it doesn't have form, then it must be eternal.
Okay, fine, that's what you're saying.
Well, no, I don't want
to... But matter could be eternal with form, too.
It can't be eternal with form.
Why not?
Because if it has form, then it must have been generated.
No, but... No, he doesn't say that.
He says that in this paper.
No, he doesn't say it over here. He says matter which is generated has to have form. That's what I'm saying. Look, I'm reading here from Davidson. Davidson brings here two proofs. Davidson says, like this, everything that comes into existence does so from a substratum. The underlying matter of something that came into existence, it also came into from a substratum. But the nature of the matter is like to be the substratum from other things rise. Because the only matter could have come into existence only from an already existing matter. To assume that the only matter that came into existence would require assuming that the only matter already existed. In other words, basically, the assumption is matter comes from other matter. Matter, in other words, anything which generates comes from other matter. That's argument number one.
And it has form.
No. This is, I'm reading from Davidson, who's quoting Aristotle. Now there's a second argument of Aristotle. The second argument of Aristotle is like this. He says there's another way of arguing. The underlying matter of the world could have only come to exist from existing matter. Matter, however, never exists void of form, but in compound, together with form, right? Like we learned from the Maharal, Chaim and Zohar. To assume an absolute beginning of the underlying matter of the universe would then not merely require assuming an existence existed. It requires assuming that before matter existed, there already exists a full-blown compound of matter and form. That's the second argument. In other words, the first argument, according to Davidson and Aristotle, is an argument that says there has to be another matter. The second argument said more than that. There has to be a matter with form.
The Rambam seems to be disproving that.
No, the Rambam is saying the following thing. The Rambam, in my opinion, if you work from the end of the Rambam backwards, the Rambam's proof is the following thing. In other words, let's make a hanacha that there is an eternal matter, but the matter is formless.
No, that's...
Wait, hear what I'm saying. Because the Rambam says at the end, now we assume that the matter in question was battered out and down with form. In other words, now we have assumed, which we want to be mafrech that. In other words, like this. How is Aristotle? Aristotle's arguing for the contrary. Let's assume the opposite. Let's assume the original matter doesn't have form. Now we have assumed, what? No?
I think he's saying in Pasha Mamaynafshach. If the first substance was created from something, then that was created from something and there's an eternal chain back forever.
What was form though?
No, if it has form, then it must be eternal because it must have been created from something else. The Ilu, there also is a...
The Ilu Anachdu Anachdu Shomashabhasetzura.
If first says Ilu, it would have form, then it must be...
Oh, you know what? You said like this. Either formless or non-formless. Oh. Like this. In other words, the first matter is either formless or non-formless.
If it's formless, then it was created from something which came back forever. If it has form, it came from something...
Wait. If matter was generated, it came from something... It has to have form.
If it has form, it came from... It was generated.
No, he's saying... HaChoy Marish... He said like this. If it's generated, it must have a tzura.
Fine.
Because this is the mashmos... Generation requires Vura. V'ilu anachnu, and he was saying this b'man avshah. By the way, Pinchas disagrees with you on the translation. But we have assumed. Not. It doesn't work out.
Wait, Pinchas what?
It says, no, it doesn't say b'man avshah. V'ilu.
Okay, but Schwartz does. Ilu this, v'ilu that.
No, ilu means v'ilu, but, no, I understand v'ilu means over here, but, nonetheless, we assumed otherwise. But we assume otherwise.
Okay, look, go back to this first.
If matter was generated, it has to have a tzura.
Oh, and if it doesn't.
First, like this. He says, matter B, let's assume matter B was generated. It must have come from matter A. That's number one. Now, Lachari, that's a proof. That's it. I'm finished. Because further.
Proof of what?
Well, a proof that matter is eternal. Because matter must have come from the mother matter. He's like this. He says, matter B must have a tzura.
Right.
Because matter which is generated has a tzura.
Right.
Okay? Now he says like this, V'ilu anachtu hinachnu. Now I'm learning it, but we've assumed that the Chomer Rishon didn't have a tzura.
Where did he assume that? You mean the Jews?
Right, and that's the way Pinchas says, but we have assumed not like that, like this.
Not at the beginning of the paragraph? The first one.
He didn't really say, right? He says like this. He asserts that the first matter, right, is not subject to generation and passing away. Like this. I claim like this. All right, look, this is what I'm claiming like this. Because otherwise, let's be Hanachta. We assume otherwise. I claim what the Rambam is quoting Aristotle like this. I'm surprised that it doesn't make... Because in Davidson, he says the argument correct. And Davidson's not reading the Rambam. He's reading, you know... I claim like this. I claim what the Rambam is saying is the following thing. Maybe we should write a paper on this. It'll make sense. The Rambam is proving more. Because once again, let's go back. It's that what Maimonides really wants to attack is the Aristotelian concept of eternity, not the Platonic concept. The Platonic eternity we can live with. That's the kind of base paradigm of it. We can live with that. If there's a formless matter, we can work that into eternity. The thing that he really wants to, that's why he's bringing Aristotle. Aristotle believes that matter is not formless. The matter always had form. what Aristotle wants to prove is that matter always had form, which means like this. What was the first Hamacha? Even though Rabbanan say it, he says it later on. The first Hamacha is, let's assume that matter is eternal and formless. Or you can say that the argument goes in two stages. First, let's prove it always had to be matter. That's Basha, because if matter was generated, it comes from other matter. But maybe it came from formless matter. So he goes further. No, because if matter comes from formless matter, the matter which was generated had a form, and the argument should be, which he doesn't put here, but that's the argument that I want to put in. If matter comes from form, if the matter that's generated comes from form,
not comes from
form. If the matter which is generated has form, it must come from matter which is form too. That's what he's saying, Davidson.
But that's not what he's saying. Right?
No, but I'm putting it in. I'm saying I'm putting it in. If that's true, then what?
Why should that be? He ends up saying
punk fucker. No. But we've assumed what? We've assumed that was the hanukkah which you wanted to disprove. We're arguing by Shlili. But we assume that what? That the matter was without form. Therefore, we've proved that we've disproved it. And therefore, what? It must come out that not only is matter eternal, it's eternal with form.
Eternal without form.
If it's eternal without form, I don't need to go into form. I guess to say matter's come from some other matter.
You can't start with your... We're trying to prove that matter is eternal. No.
You see, I disagree with you. I claim that the Rambam is trying to prove is that matter is eternal with form.
Fine. So your starting assumption cannot be that let's assume matter is eternal. That's going to be
no. My assumption could be let's assume matter is eternal but formless. That could possibly be. In other words, I could make an assumption. That's what he says.
Proof number.
But we have assumed. What have we have assumed? Once again, I want to argue back what we have assumed.
Proofs number 1, 3, and 4 are trying to prove the eternity of the universe. Why should proof number 2 or somebody trying to prove form?
No. In what sense of the eternity of the universe?
What?
In what sense? There's two kinds of the eternity of the universe.
Right.
There's Platonic and Aristotelian.
So you're saying that he disproves Plato here?
Well, yeah, right, for sure. In other words, it's not enough that we want to prove that the universe is eternal. I want to prove the universe is eternal is the same universe it always was. That's Aristotle. In other words, if I prove to you that the universe is eternal with a formless matter, that's not Aristotle. It's not Aristotle.
His final line does not say...
The final line, I know, right?
A hechrech is not about the form or not form. A hechrech is eternity.
But we have assumed, I mean from Pinnis, that the matter in question was a matter not a down with form. No, that was our assumption.
Fine.
So therefore what... And we've disproved that assumption.
Mikan hechrech ena mitzaveh mishum davar.
Rabbi Ilu anachdu adach shom mishum davar eucha mechasa kura. And we've shlugged it up.
Where's the shlug?
Oh, once again, because if matter B comes from matter A, and matter B is form, matter A also has to form too. I'm
going to say for over here.
But, okay, once again, like, we're going back, we're going in circles. I collect this. I claim the way the Rambam is written, you can't, it doesn't make any sense. If you're trying to prove to me that if matter is generated, there's a previous matter that comes before that, form or formless, he proved in the first two sentences.
No, he only proved if it has form.
No!
He didn't prove the formless part from the
sentence. I'm reading the first sentence. Hachai marish b'shut al-abi yisodos ein b'sav lo kola. Sherei, ili hachai marish b'tave, hayal hachai marish shebimeno hitave. That's the end of the proof! That's the end of the proof! And that's...
The comma's in the wrong place, that's all.
No, but that's what the comma's in the wrong place. But that's what Davidson says. But wait a second, David. David, that's what Davidson says. There's two proofs in Aristotle. There's proofs of a substratum, and there's proof that it has form. There's two separate proofs.
Fine.
In the first sentence of the Rambam, I claim, that's it, just like the proof of motion. If matter generates...
Where's he going? Ba'az and...
Wait. But up till now, I've proven my point.
No.
I have. If matter was generated, it came from some other matter. Now it comes along and that's... letting the way. I claim, if you want to prove matter is eternal, you're proving your point. Just like motion. Motion comes from another motion. Now, comes that's step one. Now, step two, the Rambam says, Ba'az ha'im et chayim sha'otu chom ishtab yi ha'bal tzura. Let me do like this. But then he says, no, but it has to be the matter that came out of Tzula. Let me tell you something. I want to say like this. Can Can I change one word in the Rambam? It'll be like a Baba Berman used to say, lichtig. I want to say, va'az hayim el chayev, she'oto choma, she'hit haveh. Not the second choma, the first choma. She'mit haveh. Or maybe hit haveh is, in other words, the first choma has to have tzuma.
Sure.
Oh, very good. And that's what Davidson says.
That it came from
something
which had
tzuma. Ah! He doesn't say like that, penis.
That's fine.
But I'm fine. Very good. Now.
Oh, it's on B.
No, wait. Now, that's a disproof. The Elu Anachnu Hanachnu. That shlugs us up. Why does it shlug us up?
So we just proved that if it has a form, it's been eternal because it came from something else which had a form.
We've proven any matter, if B, matter B generates from matter A, Adam and Eve must have had a form. Why do I care whether matter A had a form?
No. We've shown that matter A itself is generated.
For different difference though, but I'm saying like this. I'm saying a very simple thing. In the first two lines in my modern days, I say if matter was generated, it came from some other matter. I made the proof. Who cares about form? Matter has to come from some other matter. That is a second level. There's a second level here. Not only does matter have to come from matter, but matter which is generated has to come from matter with form. That's the second level.
It's not in the words of the Rambam.
Forget the word of the Rambam.
No, I don't.
Well, listen to me. If the Rambam is trying to prove that matter is eternal, he's proven in the first two lines. Matter has to come from matter, that's it.
That doesn't prove eternity of matter. That just proves that there's an infinite procession of...
That's what I have to prove! That matter is eternal! No! If matter is generated, it must be generated from other matter.
Yes.
So I proved that one. That's like from motion. If motion was generated, it must be moved from some other motion.
And if it had no form?
Who cares about form? I have a principle. Matter must come from matter.
If I have such a thing as matter without form, does that have to be generated from something else?
Whatever matter it is, whether it's form and not form, it has to come from some other matter.
No. Matter without form is eternal.
He says, no.
Matter without form is not
If I've proven that matter comes from some other matter, it means that matter is eternal. Because matter has to come from some other matter. That means it's eternal. Let me say what I'm... As far as I'm concerned like this, the Rambam, the first part of the proof, proves that matter must come from some other matter. That's a proof. Davidson calls that proof number one from the substratum of matter. Then the Rambam goes on this and says, but the matter must have had form. Now which matter is he speaking about? Pinnis says the second matter that came must have form. But I claim...
Also here, Freelander as well.
What? The second matter?
Freelander as well, second matter. Yeah.
Okay, fine. But I claim, so Schwartz, but I claim, Treibitz claims no. I claim it's the first matter. Because I see that in Davidson, the first matter must have had form. That's very good. Now, says the Rambam, v'ilu anachnu. Now, in a mathematical proof, what have you done? You make an assumption, you induce that assumption, and you show that what? The assumption must have been wrong. Therefore, what you assume was not correct. V'ilu anachnu. Now, but we assume that what? That the achoy meharishin was chasetzura. So what must have been the assumption in the beginning? Which he never said. The assumption in the beginning must have been that there is a Chayim Rishon with Adam Tzuma, and that ourselves proving that can't be.
Where's the upshot over here?
What?
How does he upshot that? Where does it say that it can't be?
What?
That line is missing. The whole line that it can't be formless is missing from the.
But he says we assume. But we have assumed that the matter in question was better than that with form.
And therefore.
Right. So therefore. No, so he says, now such matter necessarily must not be generated for something.
And so it
must be eternal.
No.
But I didn't need that. If the first two lines you already told me, if matter generated, it must come for some other matter.
And if it wasn't generated, it's also eternal. Minor shakam.
But I have a general principle that matter generated for some other matter is eternal. Look, you want to like that, fine. I say that he wants to prove something more. Because what he says...
Where's the proof that it can't be formless?
What?
Where does Rambam show that it can't be?
Because Rambam like this. Why?
Which words in Rambam say it can't be formless?
Let's say like this. If you let's assume right? The world that we have is full of forms. You agree with me? The world we have is full of forms? Okay, very, very good. Okay? But let's assume, right? Let's assume that when the world was first and foremost matter. So what does that mean? That means that what are you assuming? You're assuming that from formless matter was generated matter with form. That's Plato's theory of the eternity of the world, which the Rambam says in section 2, 25, is fine. So the Rambam is saying, we have a yesod, that if matter B is generated from matter A must have form.
Where did that come from?
What? The Rambam doesn't say that, but Davidson says that's the proof of Aristotle.
Okay, fine.
Right? I want to claim. Therefore, what have we done? We've schlugged up our assumption the first matter didn't have form.
You just said it's not, you're just like, saying it's not true isn't a proof of anything.
No. How do I prove something is not true? How do I like this? I want to prove that the first matter had form. How do I prove that? You can either prove it had form, or you can prove, let's assume it didn't have form.
Because that's impossible for anything with form to be created something without form.
Right, that's it.
But that's not in Rambam.
I agree with you it's not in the Rambam. We're going around in circles. I agree with you it's not in the Rambam. But since in the first two lines of the Rambam has a yesod, that must some matter, all matter must come from some other matter, and a matter judges from some other matter, he's proven the point already. Why is it speaking about form? He's proven his point already.
He assumed that. He's not proving anything.
The Rambam's attack on all these proofs is going to be that I was just assuming things. That's what Davidson says, too. The attack on the Aristotle's proof is going to be that he doesn't prove anything, he just assumes things.
You can't assume that it has form and therefore...
And if I assume that the matter which is generated has a form, that's also an assumption. How do I know that? I'm only assuming I haven't proven anything. All these things are assumptions, ultimately. That's what that's going to be the Rambam's rebuttal of all these proofs. You're making assumptions.
Here he presents why it has to be that way.
Why?
Because if something has form, then it's already the second matter.
Why? Why is that true? Maybe God created something with form, but that from nothing. It's only an assumption.
He's saying that based on the principles of physics, something that has form
must
have been generated. You can't have something. That's how he starts off.
What? But why? But that's an assumption.
No.
What would be
presumptuous would be to describe the first matter. But any matter that has form, says Rambam, must come from another matter. Must be generated.
Well, first of all, the Rambam in the first sentence doesn't say that. The Rambam says any matter, what is form now, comes from some other matter.
It
isn't that form?
The
second matter must have form.
No, that the matter that has form must be second.
Must have form. Rambam says like this, any matter which is generated must come from other matter. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, that proves the matter is eternal.
And any matter that has form must
no,
be
no, the Rambam didn't say that. Rambam said, HaChaymer Rishon Mishave, Hayalo Choshev, if the Chaymer Rishon Mishave, and the Chaymer that it came from. The first Chaymer Harishon, right, if the first Chaymer Rishon was Mishave, it was generated, it came from some other matter.
Yeah. So
okay?
If we prove the eternity, if it has.
So that proves the eternity
if it was Mishave.
That's a finish right here.
If it was Mishave, we proved it. If it was generated...
If the first chaimer was generated, it was generated from some other matter, right?
And if it wasn't generated, if it had no tzor, it was not generated?
One second. If it wasn't generated, it's very, very good.
It's also eternal.
That's okay. They can finish with the proof. Why go with the form? There's no reason to go with the form. Form is... Mandaka shmei. Who needs form? Well, who needs form? Form is absolutely irrelevant. So I want to say, right, based upon the scholarly article of Davidson, that there are two proofs. There's a proof of the eternity of matter, form or no form. And then there's a proof that matter eternally has to have, the value of matter eternal has to have form. Okay, yeah. Want the article? Take the article. Take the article and read over here, right? Argument A, read over here, read over here. You'll see the two arguments of Davidson.
Well,
now,
why can we say that we're mentioning form? The reason why we're mentioning form is in order to differentiate between something which is generated and something which generates, i.e. the prime primordial
right.
matter.
So I want to see, according to Davidson, the Aristotelian argument is, not only is the thing which is generated has form, the thing which generates also has that form. And let me tell you something too. The fact is that, in other words, the world that we have in front of us has form. So, that doesn't mean the world has form. The Ikka is that the world that generated it has to have form. That's the chiddush over here. Well, all I want to claim is, I'm not clear. I claim the ikar chasa ben aseva. There's something missing in the Rambam. There's nothing missing in the Rambam, despite that Davidson footnotes the Rambam is irrelevant. If logically, there's two things I could prove. I could prove that man is eternal without form. That's Plato. Or I could prove that man is eternal with form. It makes sense in Aristotle, based upon what the Rambam said about Aristotle, that Aristotle's that Aristotle would want to prove that matter is eternal with form. That's very right, because in Aristotle without form, the Rambam has no reason to undo the proof. The Rambam is comfortable with that.
Where do we see Aristotle? That Aristotle claims that matter was eternal with form.
Oh, because that's how the Rambam began in Perek Gimel. According to Aristotle, the world is. The way the world is always was.
But, meaning,
right.
Where we see it, it was.
Right, always was. Right, that's Aristotle's whole position. So, like this. So, I want to claim that what the Rambam wants to prove, I agree the Ikas Chasa Ben Aseva, but anyone can learn it, either it's in the Sachs or it makes absolutely no sense. I prefer to change the gears to make it make sense. Whatever it is, what I want to claim is like this. The Rambam here is saying, from Aristotle, that not only are we proving that matter is eternal, but matter is eternal with a form. Matter is eternal with a form. So what's my proof? My proof that matter is eternal is partial. Because if matter was generated, it must be generated from something else. However, more, it's eternal with a form. Why? Because if matter is generated with a form, because our world has form, so it must have been generated from something which has a form too. Because you can't, in other words, the generation of something with a form, right, requires a thing before that had a form to it. Just like the Rambam says with motion. In other words, for motion to be generated, it has to be moved by something which is already moving. So in other words, so the Rambam says, so if matter is generated, and you can say it's two arguments. If matter generated has form, but if it's generated with form, it must be generated something with form too. So therefore, our initial assumption that the world was eternal but with form with matter doesn't hold up. Therefore, we've proven the matter that the world's eternal with form. That's what I claim the Rambam's argument is. If you're asking me to prove it for the words, I can't prove it for the words. But on the other hand, the words have to make no sense. But the point is, right, the point is that my proof of this thing is that from Herbert Davidson's book, I think he has actually a Hebrew, I think he actually Shmuel, whatever it is, he has some type of a Hebrew name too, right? In other words, he doesn't go into the Rambam by Maimonides in particular, but he claims that there were actually two proofs we see in Aristotle. A proof of an eternal substratum, which is like a formless matter, anything matter, and there's also a proof that the matter must have had form too. There are two proofs in Aristotle. I want to claim what the Rambam is doing is actually bringing both proofs, but in other words, the Ikar is the second proof, because the Rambam wants to bring Aristotle's proof that the world was always eternal with form, meaning that the world is the way it always was. That's what I want to say. Okay, in other words, Hamevin, you know, it's Haboicha Yivchar, right? And that's right. Okay, now, what I want to do is, I want to go to Derech HaShlishlo. How much time do we have? Because we've been
7 minutes.
We have 7 minutes. Okay, fine. The Derech HaShlishis is a proof, a third proof, based upon the following thing. Let me summarize it for you, and then we'll read into the Rambam. In Aristotelian science, when something comes from something else, what happens is it throws away one property and adopts another property, which means what's called a property and anti-property. In other words, when something, let's say, for example, B comes from A, so B has a property which is connected to the property of A. In other words, if B is not A, so it must be that B has a property not of A. So in other words, A, there's a certain property that's anti-A, and B basically adopts a property, has a property anti-A, in other words, has a property anti-A, with which it throws away A's property. And because of that, that's how B comes from A. In other words, that's Aristotelian science. Now, according to the Rambam, like this, if I have a circle, it's very interesting. If most things in the world have an anti-property. For example, I have a line, so I have an anti-property. My line going the opposite direction. You know? I mean, a circle doesn't have an anti-property. Because since a circle is always going around. There's no anti-property.
Like counterclockwise?
Yeah, like, well, he doesn't, I know, he doesn't, in other words, it's, because the circle goes like this, it goes against itself. So because of that, a circle is an anti-property. So because, now since the first things in the world, the things that generate the world, are spheres which revolve, according to Aristotle, the most fundamental motion is circular motion. So a circular motion, by definition, doesn't have an anti-property, so it must be eternal. That's what he says. Hadarach HaShlitcha Shol is, who Omer? I'll go for the Schwartz edition. Shechoy Magalgal B'Shleimuso Einbo Nigud Yud Klal. There's nothing going against the Galgal. There's no anti-property. Ki L'Tnuas Vivis Ein Nigud Kamo Shehuvah. Because circular motion has no thing against it. Because circular motion, by definition, goes against itself. Yes, the goodness rapid to the shara. When is there an anti-motion? When something goes, so when something goes in a straight line, it goes against. And destroyed. How do you see? The reason is because the problem is the goodness. Since a it doesn't have anti, but it says no color like something would not be destroyed, can create. Who can they confuse somebody? Terrifies it. Call it a club, call it a sub, whatever. It's generated. Can destroy the drug behind it. Call it a sub, call it a sub, call it a sub. Basically, perishability in generation for some sides of the thing. Where is perish? And generate. Whatever can perish can be generated. So since circular motion, which is the initial motion of the universe, the galgalim, the spheres, right? A circle which by definition don't have an anti-movement. Because of that, they can't perish, and by definition, they could not have been generated. Okay? And that's Machayev Kadmus Ha'oilu. Now, once again, here, the Kadmus here is on real circular motion. It's not a Yuli thing, it's not an indefinite thing, it's real circular motion. Okay? And I think with this Darshish, we'll stop over here. I think we're at the end. And in Mir Hashem, our next class will do Derech Ravid, which is the fourth proof, and then we'll see something else. Then we'll see how the Rambam attacks all of these arguments. Basically, Rambam's going to have one argument to attack everything. Okay, we'll stop over here.